Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup's webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo at Serenity Sunday 2023 or through PayPal, serenitysunday1212@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
Hi, everyone. My name's Lewis.
Hi, Lewis.
I'm a compulsive overeater, a junkie with food. I'm a crazy person, a habitual reality denier. My perception is definitely not reality. It's one of the hardest things that I learned here. I think I know a lot. I know nothing. I know nothing. And sometimes I tell people that, and they're like, well, you gotta know something, you know? Well, yeah, I know how to tie my shoes, but like when it comes to the rest of life, I don't know anything. And since coming to that, it's work. So I don't know what, I'm just letting God drive today. So, hey Zoom folks, it's so good to see your lovely faces. With people with their camera off, I would really love to see yours too. If you can throw your cameras on, I'd love to see those smiling faces. Let me know I'm not alone. Just some stats real quick. I have 7 years, 9 months of continuous abstinence that was given to me by the grace of God and my sponsors and the people that have been lights along this journey. I've been as high as 380 pounds. And I say it's about there because I stopped weighing myself when I saw that number. And I'm sure way heavier than that. And I usually make the same joke every time, but it's like, obviously, but I was serious at the time, right? I can't gain weight if I stop weighing myself, right? I don't know what the number is. So I'm still 380. It was dangerous. I had no neck, big boy. Been as high as 380 pounds, but I spent a good amount of years at 175 over-exercising, being a crazy person, right? I forgot to bring my pictures. They're sitting on my kitchen table at this moment. So if anyone wants to come by later, I'm happy to show them to you. But the common thing you'll see, right, whether extremely large or skinny enough to look like an lowercase I because of my big head, it didn't matter, right? Like, you don't need me to tell you, right, like what my food is. None of that matters, right? You don't need me to tell you how to eat. You know, you got people for that, right? Like I'm suffering from a spiritual malady. When you look at those photos, the common thing you'll see is that I am dead behind those eyes. There is nothing there. I spent 30 plus years of my life just getting through things, right? There's no experience. I wasn't experiencing life. I wasn't living life. I was getting through it. And here's the thing, right? I got lucky enough to work in an industry. I'm originally from Chicago, Midwest is best. To work in an industry where in entertainment that was fun, exciting, and was certainly the express lane for my compulsive behaviors. And I look at pictures from those years, and I can tell you with a straight face in all sincerity, I don't remember a lot of that. You know, usually when I show my pictures around, there's a picture of me very large on a red carpet. I don't remember that. I remember that I had to go for work or whatever, but I don't remember that moment. So up and down, it didn't matter. I was still suffering from a spiritual malady I didn't know at the time. And I'll tell you, I was drinking heavily at the time, so bad that my job sent me to an outpatient center. And the drinking stopped, and I'm thinking, man, addiction is easy. It was removed so fast. What is this? I'm good. Peace out. All the while, I'm eating in a very disturbing way. All the while, I can tell you my drunkalogue. I can tell you my fun drunk stories. Oh yeah, we were blood and blah blah blackout blah blah. But don't you dare ask me what I'm doing in the parking lot of that grocery store. Don't ask me why I'm throwing out bags and bags of McDonald's in the alley of my building. Don't ask me why I'm waiting till the middle of the night to throw my garbage down the chute. My good friend Susan G likes to say that she ate like Bill drank. Not enough pasta on the planet for me. So just to fast forward, just to tell you what brought me here, right? What brought me here? I moved to this to Los Angeles 2012. And it was in that moment when I was at a lower body weight, still crazy out of my mind. I was married. I moved here from Chicago with my wife at the time, and life got hard. Who knew? Who knew that just picking up and leaving without a plan would not work out? What? Who knew that things just wouldn't work out my way? Because I was really wanting them to. Who knew? Right? And the things stop working. All of a sudden, I can't run fast enough. I can't lift heavy enough. F it. I'm all or nothing. And who knocked on the door? My old friend Fu. All of a sudden, I remembered being 7 years old, in the middle of the night, sitting in front of my fridge, sitting with the fridge door open, eating cheese and crackers and drinking through quarts of juice. I want to tell you that I ate in a disturbing manner because my dad has yet to say I love you to me, and I'm 45. I would love to tell you that I ate because I was born with medical issues that required surgeries, from being less than a year old. For most of my, I would love to tell you that's why. I would love to tell you that I ate because I was shit at school. Right? I would love to tell you it's because I grew up in the hood. I would love to tell you that. But being taken through these steps, you start to see, man, I'm convinced today that I was born this way. Right? When I see you guys, my family, my friends, my fellows, and the big book makes very explicit language on, we are people who normally would not mix. But here we are sharing this common peril. That's what brings us together. Before these rooms, I thought I was the only one. I legit thought I was the only one that ate this way. And I don't, when Deanna asked me to come speak, it wasn't because I was like, yeah, I love doing this. It's a privilege, but there's one paragraph in the big book that brings it home for me on page 124. Showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing. God, I'm going to cry already. Showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us now. Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have. The key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. I want to say, oh, I want you to recover. I want you to get that book. And da, 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 da. I can only hope that for you. I can only hope that for myself. Thank God I'm abstinent today. Thank God for my higher power today. If someone hadn't extended a handout to me, who knows where I'd be? In those 7 years and 9 months, I've watched two men die from this disease. One guy was over 600 pounds and hadn't stood on his own 2 feet in 3 years. And guess what? I would see this man weekly with other fellows, and I wouldn't go. There's not a day that I've sat there looking at that man and go, oh, this poor man. I sat there and looked at him and go, F me, that could be me. That at my highest weight, I was more than halfway there. And I don't know, I was not willing to make the gamble that my body could hold up to that. No human power. The other man I saw die, two young boys. Oh, I want to lose weight for my kids, right? I want to get better for my family. That's not enough. I need conscious contact with a power greater than myself. And let me tell you, with those birth issues, with being bad at school, with the rough life, guess what? I believed in God, right? I'm Mexican. I grew up Catholic. I believed in God, you know? But I had incredible resentment. Why me? Why me? Why me? Why not this guy? Why not my brother? Why not? Why me?
That's your 10 minutes.
Thank you, sir. Why me? I didn't realize at the time, right? But God had other plans for me. I went to the only thing I knew was in 2016, 2015, the end of 2015, I was sitting in my apartment. It was New Year's Eve, and I wanted to kill myself. I had that plan. I remember I tell this every time I tell my story. I sat there and I did the BS Instagram post that said, you know, everyone have a safe night. Hope everyone has fun. Happy New Year. Had the Netflix fireplace going with every intention of being done, right? I was divorced. I had no friends. I was in a new city, right? I had effectively cut off my friends and family in those years, right? 2012 to 2016, that's a 15 is a long time. And let me tell you, I made quick work of putting on well over 100 pounds and cutting those people out of my life. Some of those relationships I nuked from orbit, and something in the back of my mind said, get help. And the only answer I had was like, see a therapist, right? It's one-on-one, pay my copay, you know, I'm out, see you, we're good. No group crap, don't have to talk to nobody else. And I'm so mad and grateful to this day because it took two sessions for her to look at me and go, Lewis, you're an addict with food. And it was the first time someone had cracked me open and let all my BS out. I felt raw, and it was the first time I ugly cried, and I haven't stopped crying since, to be honest. There's no reason. There's no reason I have to hold it in, right? And that wasn't enough, right? The one of my favorite lines, God, where is it? There's a line in the big one that makes so much sense to me. Whatever. It talks about how the guy hits himself in the head with a hammer so he doesn't feel his headache. That makes sense to me. That was one of the first lines of the big book that I read. I go, yep. So what I'm saying with that is from that therapy appointment, it took me another month to come into the room after she suggested OA. I had to be beaten into a state of reasonableness, right? I walk into the room, I see this giant God is love sign. I'm like, oh, no thanks. Thank God someone was there and I was ready to bolt out of that meeting, right? Someone grabbed my hand and goes, hey, bro, a couple of those guys get together for breakfast. You want to come? You know, and I'm going, yeah. Well, inside, I'm like, no, leave me alone. To take someone's hand, right? That was the first time I took someone's hand and said, sure, right? And I just kept doing that. Hearing people, hearing you guys tell your stories, right? When I would tell you the disturbing way I ate and the disturbing things I did with food and not seeing disgust on your face, right? Not seeing shock or horror, right? But sitting going, yep, same. Yep. Did you try it with this? And then I sat here going like, oh, shit, I'm home. Crap, I belong here. And guess what, you guys? I didn't get that spiritual experience right away, right? You know, I fought it. I fought it. I've yet to find a corner that I'd love to cut. If I see it, I'm gonna cut it, right? Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked this projector, right? Guess what? I was gonna find out how much, you know, half measures could avail me. These guys, they beg of us, right? To be fearless and thorough from the very start. Now, mind you, these are guys, right? We've all been to a business meeting. We know how well those go. We know how calm and collected those can be, right? But here are a group of addicts who got together and churned this out, a proven workable method. So when I hear them say, we beg of you, they mean it. they're giving us the benefit of the experience, and I still went, I don't know. 7-Eleven sounds pretty good for lunch. I'll tell you right now, it took me 4 years to get my spiritual experience. I was abstinent, right? But when my sponsor goes, "Hey man, don't date your first year," I'll do it twice. And I had to clean that up. Right? Don't make any big work changes. I'll do that too. And I clean that up. For my spiritual experience to happen, I had to be put up against the wall by the throat and asked if God was everything or nothing. Some of you know, I have a kidney transplant. I'm on my second one. The first one was given to me by my brother in 2009. I was on dialysis for 3.5 years, kidney failure. I got real healthy. That's when I got healthy, real healthy. And got the kidney. It failed 4 years into my abstinence. And I sat in that emergency room and it was the first time I saw the literal rose in front of me and I saw the fork. I sat in that emergency room, them telling me that my kidney was gone and I would have to go back on dialysis. And I sat there and I was like, you can either do shit the old way, keep it to yourself, you fix it, and then you tell everyone how you did it. Or you can call your sponsor and ask, what the fuck do I do? I need help. And I don't know what did it. Desperation, you know, being sick of my own stuff, right? Sick of my own head to go, I'm going to call my sponsor. And that was the day that I decided, right? That was my turning point. That was the day God is everything to me. I worked the steps. Right. I had that dimmer switch spiritual experience. Right. You guys, I had been walking around in the dark, stumbling my way when I didn't have to. I hadn't opened the windows. Right. I hadn't opened the shades. I hadn't turned on the lights. You guys had to do that for me. Lewis, have a trust fall with God. Right. Try this little thing. How did it go? Right? It's actually all right. Keep going. Take that momentum. Right. Act as if you have to, and it's not going wrong since. And it takes me to the AA 12 and 12, which I love. When we encountered AA, the fallacy of our defiance was revealed. 2 minutes left. Perfect. Thank you, sir. At no point had we asked what God's will was for us. Instead, we had been telling him what it ought to be. No man we saw could believe in God and defy him too. Belief meant reliance, not defiance. In AA, we saw the fruits of this belief, men and women spared from alcohol's final catastrophe. We saw them meet and transcend their other pains and trials. We saw them calmly accept impossible situations, seeking neither to run nor recriminate. This was not only faith, it was faith that worked under all conditions. We soon concluded that whatever price in humility we must pay, we would pay. I will pay anything to keep this. I will go to any lengths to keep this. My life depends on it. Today, I get to practice these principles in all my affairs because I promise you, right, that I practice my disease in all my affairs. There's not a single thing that my disease did not touch. So today, I get to practice everything with the 12 steps, right? Whether it's work, an email. There, for a moment, I was a treasurer for the LA Intergroup, and I'm like, I don't want to go to the bank for this stuff today. Boop, 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 boop. For the people on the recording, boop, 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 I'm dialing a phone and go, dude, you want to go to the bank with me? I don't want to go. He said, yeah, sure, whatever, let's go. That's a miracle. I see a miracle in that. I see myself finally asking for help, not having a transactional relationship with someone. Talk about this disease being permanent, progressive, and fatal, you know, but this program I found has been, right, permanent for today, progressive and life-giving. The shit is magic. That's my time, everyone. Thanks for letting me share.